What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Tomatovito Boxing Show once again. Thank you for tuning in. And we're going to dive in to the kickoff to what is a big weekend, or what is going to be a big weekend, especially in Las Vegas, because it is Super Bowl weekend, which will culminate with the big Super Bowl showdown between the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday. Now, because it is such a big celebration going on, the party in Las Vegas has been an all-week affair, but officially the party weekend begins on Thursday night, and the event that will be kicking off the Super Bowl weekend array of festivities that are lined up for Las Vegas, culminating with this big Super Bowl game, is none other than the fight between Jermaine Ortiz and Teofimo Lopez. They are going to kick off the festivities. Top Rank is behind us. Bob Arum putting another big event. If you guys remember a few months back, Bob Arum and Top Rank were involved in launching another big weekend for Las Vegas. And that was when the F1 Grand Prix was making its debut in Las Vegas. And the fighters to kick off that big event, which was also a Thursday night event rather than your typical Saturday night, was Shakur Stevenson against Edwin De Los Santos, a fight that was highly touted. We were looking forward to that fight. It was supposed to be an all-out, bombs-away type affair, and it ended up being somewhat of a dull fight. That, of course, happens to be the last fight for Shakur Stevenson. And if you've been keeping up with the boxing news as of late, Shakur Stevenson apparently announced his retirement from this world of boxing as of last week. Just when he's about to hit the peak of his career, he seems to have stepped away. Someone else who did that is one half of the main event this Thursday night, which is Teofimo Lopez. He actually retired for about 29 days, not that long ago. I think after his last fight with Josh Taylor, he announced that he was going to be stepping away, and then he came back about a month later. So Thursday night, the kickoff to the big Super Bowl weekend festivities is going to be headlined by Teofimo Lopez and Jermaine Ortiz. Let's dive into this thing, because it has all the makings, and the co-main event, it has all the makings to be a great fight. The co-main event is USA Olympic standout in Keyshawn Davis, who we've been following for years. You could go back and check out my catalog, and I even have an episode that I dedicated to, or several episodes that I dedicated to the Olympics as they were taking place. I believe that was back in the COVID year. And where I talked about Richard Torres, where I talked about Keyshawn Davis and his big fight against, in his final fight, the gold medal matchup against none other than Andy Cruz. And I still feel to this day, I'm a big fan of both of them, but I still feel to this day that Keyshawn Davis was actually doing a lot more than Andy Cruz in that fight to have walked away with the gold medal. But the judges didn't see it that way, and they ended up awarding him the silver medal, giving the gold to Andy Cruz. Andy Cruz and Keyshawn Davis, of course, are on a collision course now that they're both professionals, and they're bound to run into one another once again. They have a big rivalry. They faced off four times, I believe, in the amateurs, and would always end up seeing each other basically in the final matchup. They were the final bosses of each other's game, per se. So Keyshawn Davis is stepping up. After his last fight, he ended up calling out Jose Pedraza, and he's getting it. He got the matchup. Jose Pedraza will be facing off against Davis, and there's a lot of upside and also a lot at stake in that fight. Not just a crossroads fight for Pedraza, but it is a big step up in competition for Keyshawn Davis. And so we're going to go ahead and dive into that one as well. Teofimo Lopez, let's talk about that, because that's the main event, and that's the one we're interested in. Teofimo Lopez, your current ring champion, your lineal champ at 140 pounds, lifting the titles from Josh Taylor, who was the man at 140 pounds when he became undisputed after that big unification fight against Jose Ramirez. Teofimo Lopez dominated 135, is one of the most dominant champs, if not the most dominant champ at 140 pounds, with newcomers like Devin Haney after he lifted the title from Regis Prograis. You have Subriel Matias, who is being deemed as the boogeyman of the division. And he's another champ. And then Rolly Romero, who happens to be the weaker of the four champions, he's slated to fight Pitbull Cruz Late March, I believe, at the close of March, and that's going to be the debut for the PBC pact with Amazon Prime, as they're throwing their hat into the boxing game. Amazon Prime is, so that's going to be their big debut for both of those, the promotional company and the streaming service. So that's one of the titles that's going to be on the line. Subriel Matias seems to be recovering from a hand injury. Devin Haney just recently lifted that title from Regis Prograis, so he's in negotiations. Potentially, talks are back in motion with him and Ryan Garcia. And that's been a roller coaster of its own, if you've been following that on social media. Teofimo Lopez and Jermaine Ortiz is a really interesting fight because these two fighters know each other fairly well. They ran into each other in the amateurs, and it's a tough one. Teofimo Lopez continues to take on tough matchups and continues to shine. This is a fighter who has a very similar style to that of his. Jermaine Ortiz fights very similar, and if you guys remember when I covered a fight with him and Vasily Lomachenko, I've covered Jermaine Ortiz for a while now as well. Especially when he dethroned one of my favorite fighters in Jamel Herring. It was a one-sided affair where he just bested him. Even though Jamel Herring ended up making it to the end, it is one of those fights that brought Jamel Herring's career to a question and to a halt, in which Jamel Herring is now starting to get back. He was active late last year, and he's going to try to make a run at 126 or maybe 130 pounds again. But this was a lightweight matchup, and Jermaine Ortiz was just too big, too fast, too young, too everything for Jamel Herring. And he discarded him. But Jamel Herring ended up making it all the way to the end, but there was no question as to who the winner was, and Jermaine Ortiz's stock just rose after that matchup. We knew that we had something special in Jermaine Ortiz. He has a similar style to that of Teofimo Lopez, which is the new era, the new generation style of quick feet, quick hands, quick movement, quick punches in succession, quick combinations, and decent, pretty decent defense, pretty good defense. They get caught from time to time, and it's usually on the exit. And so it becomes a counterpuncher's dream and nightmare at the same time, because when fighters with this style face off against one another, that's how they pinpoint each other. That's how they catch each other on the exit or countering. And this is what we're going to have here. I really feel like this matchup is going to be another Cambosos Teofimo Lopez, or at least very close to that, where both of them very wide, very unorthodox fighters. It's going to be a points tit for tat type of matchup, where I punch you, you punch me type thing, and a back and forth. Jermaine Ortiz tends to throw combinations a lot more. Jermaine Ortiz is the bigger of the two fighters. By the time they rehydrate, he's definitely going to be more of a welterweight, if not a super welterweight, facing off against Teofimo in maybe a welterweight rehydration or a rehydrated version of himself. He looked like it was a lot harder for him during the weigh-in. It looked like it was a lot harder for Jermaine Ortiz to cut down. He looked fairly dehydrated, fairly drained, but in good spirits overall. And you could definitely tell that he's the bigger body of the two. It definitely looked like it was a tougher cut for him to get down to 140. He made it to 139 and change. Teofimo made it to 139.5, I believe. Teofimo looks fairly comfortable. It looks from the reports, it seems like Teofimo made weight. Already he's been sitting on weight for approximately 2 weeks, where we've seen images of Teofimo and we have memories of Teofimo being severely dehydrated, especially in his last few matchups at 135 pounds. He looked fairly good now. He looked really good, really composed. He looked like he was on weight and just in a great physique overall. So that might be something to keep in mind that may come into play, the rehydration and the weight by the time that these two actually step into the ring. Jermaine Ortiz, if you look at his level of opposition, they started putting him against some tough opposition in his last 10 fights. I mean, he started climbing up fairly fast, And he kept shining and shining and shining and overcoming these obstacles. And we look at his draw. He has an overall record of 17-1-1. And dating back to that draw, that one draw that he has on his record was against Joseph Adorno. It was an 8-round fight. Joseph Adorno, also a very tactical fighter. From there, he went on and he was undefeated as well. At that time, both undefeated fighters came away with a draw and remained undefeated after that fight. Jermaine Ortiz moved on to fight Nair Albright, another blue chip prospect, and he ends up getting the decision nod over Albright. From there, he goes against Jamel Herring, and it's the fight that we were just talking about here a few seconds ago. Former champ who moved up to lightweight, but he was the longest reigning 130-pound champ with the WBO in Jamel Herring. So very experienced, both amateur and professional, and Jermaine Ortiz just basically bested him throughout the 10 rounds. Then he goes on after Jamel Herring to fight none other than Vasily Lomachenko. And he ends up making it all the way against Vasily Lomachenko, all 12 rounds, in what was a fairly tougher fight for Lomachenko than most expected. And many saw that Lomachenko tends to struggle with the quick-footed fighters. Started with Teofimo, because he's discarded Pedraza, he's discarded Linares, he's discarded the fast-punching fighters, fast-handed fighters, fighters with good defense. Remember Walters back in the day, good power, fast speed in those hands, but the footwork wasn't the key for that fighter, or the strategic key for those specific fighters. It was more the hand speed, the delivery of punches, the punching power that they possessed. And Lomachenko would dismantle them by way of his footwork and his evasiveness and his creativity. When he ran into Teofimo Lopez, he ran into problems because Teofimo Lopez is a fast-footed fighter. He moves in, he moves out, his lateral movement is really good. He's creative with his punches. He's unorthodox. And that gave Vasily Lomachenko problems. We saw Vasily Lomachenko with Jermaine Ortiz also start struggling early in the fight, where Jermaine Ortiz was actually having a lot of success against Lomachenko. For such a young fighter, someone who had actually sparred with Lomachenko, he knew Lomachenko and they knew of one another, he ended up stepping up to the challenge and he gave Lomachenko a really good fight, at least for the first half of the fight. From there, his stamina began to wear out a little bit, and that's where Lomachenko capitalized. The experience came in, and he began to pick apart Jermaine Ortiz to walk away with that decision at the Madison Square Garden Theater in New York. That took place in 2022. After that, Antonio Moran was Jermaine Ortiz's next opponent, and Jermaine Ortiz ends up cruising to a decision win there, a 10-round decision win, beats Antonio Moran, another solid, solid opponent. Very experienced Antonio Moran. Now he faces Teofimo Lopez. 17-1-1 with 8 knockouts to his credit. You notice that these decisions, as he's continued to step up, he's been getting more and more decisions. I really feel that he should have put away Jamel Herring, but was unable to. And Jamel Herring, obviously the craftiness, the durability of Jamel Herring, the experience, helped him out to cruise to a decision and survive the fight. But after all these fights, in the last 5 fights, he has not been able to stop any of these opponents. Antonio Moran, a very experienced fighter as well, he was unable to put him away. Tall, lanky fighter with good punching power, gave him problems, obviously, because of the experience. The positive to this, to Jermaine Ortiz, is the level of opposition that he's been facing off against is a super broad spectrum, in which he's getting little bits of everything. He's not just fighting fast-footed fighters or defensive fighters or journeymen, similar to what we just saw with Ben and Peter Dobson. He's fighting a vast array of styles, and he's adapting to them fairly well and able to find success against them, including Vasily Lomachenko, even though he lost that fight. Not just having sparred with Vasily Lomachenko, but having faced them in a professional setting, in a live setting, you got to acknowledge the amount of knowledge and experience that Jermaine Ortiz is walking around with now. And he's going to fight a fighter that outpointed Vasily Lomachenko and got the decision against Lomachenko and Teofimo. Something that he was unable to do. At a similar stage where Teofimo found himself when he faced Vasily Lomachenko in their careers, respective careers. Jermaine Ortiz and Teofimo Lopez, I mentioned they know each other from the amateur days. They faced off against each other in the National Golden Gloves final. It was a three-round bout in 2015 in which Teofimo Lopez got the nod by points. Jermaine Ortiz was 19 at that point. Teofimo was 17. So Teofimo has that win over him, but they are completely different fighters. Maybe not completely different fighters, but they are different versions than what they recall seeing in the ring in that National Golden Gloves fight back in 2015. The resumes and the experience alone has molded these fighters into different versions than what they ran into back then when they faced off against each other. It's very interesting because I've always compared Jermaine Ortiz to have, or at least assimilated Jermaine Ortiz to have a similar style to what Teofimo Lopez brings to the table, which is the fast hands, fast feet, that wide stance, the in and out, the lateral movement. Both of these fighters possess that. Where I see that Teofimo outshines Jermaine Ortiz a little bit is that he's going to exchange the succession and the combinations where Jermaine Ortiz shines and Teofimo shines with the creativity. The unorthodox approach that Teofimo Lopez brings to the table where he mixes up his attack. Awkward angles. Odd angles. He hits you from different directions and gets you off your game. His fight with Cambosos, I really feel that, and I still feel that, and you could go back and keep me humble with this and check back when I called that fight. I was calling that fight live, recording as I was watching it, which is rare because I rarely have a chance to do that. It's usually pre or post. I recall being live calling that fight, and or maybe even just recorded as the fight was finishing and they were announcing the decision. But I recall being so into that fight, and I remember feeling that it was a draw. I couldn't decide who got it for who because they exchanged different rounds where Cambosos took the middle portion of the fight, and Teofimo would shine early, then shine late, then made a run for it, but it was just a little too late for him to have come away with the victory. I just didn't feel that he should have relinquished the titles based on how that fight played out. Cambosos got the nod, and of course we know that story. How that turned out. Enter Devin Haney. Cambosos is actually going to be fighting Vasily Lomachenko out in Australia later this year. Very interesting. Lomachenko, who was the man at 135 at one point, dethroned by Teofimo. Cambosos dethroned Teofimo, became the man, lost the titles to Devin Haney, unable to get him on the rematch. Devin Haney moves on to fight Lomachenko, who tried to regain his throne. And Devin Haney was successful in defending those titles and moves on to 140 pounds now. Two former top dogs of the 135 division are going to be facing off against each other in a crossroads fight. Very interesting to see where Cambosos and where Vasily Lomachenko will be at after that fight. One of them is going to continue to make a run for the titles. The other one may have a wrench thrown in his road, in his path. Teofimo walks into this fight at 19-1, 13 knockouts. The lineal champ who beat the man, who was the man, in each of the last two divisions that he's campaigned at. beat Lomachenko for the titles, beat Josh Taylor, who used to call him the disputed undisputed at 135, because that whole mess happened with the WBC. If you remember that, the WBC title, the franchise status did not transition over or transfer over to him. It was non-transferable. Therefore, that title was never really at stake, even though they promoted it the entire time. And ESPN sold it, and it was sold to the crowd as if all titles were on the line. And then it's like, well, technically, this title's not transferring. And we just mailed the title to Devin Haney because Lomachenko decided to vacate against Luke Campbell. So technically, he's a champ. Teofimo's a champ, but not really the champ. And it was because of BS. But the ones that decided the result were the ones in the ring fighting for all the glory between Lomachenko and Teofimo. And Teofimo happened to get the nod by way of the judges. Everything else is just BS. So don't knock that credit from Teofimo. The takeover is real. He beat Lomachenko. Regardless of what people say, the judges gave him the decision. It was a tight fight. It was a fight where Lomachenko gave up the first half of the fight and started having success later on. But Teofimo closed strong in the 12th and ended up getting the nod. If it was that tight of a fight, a 7-5, as I recall it. Then he beats Josh Taylor, who used to talk bad about Teofimo and call him the disputed, undisputed champ and mock him and this and that. And Josh Taylor always had his sights set on Terence Crawford. Teofimo comes up, dismantles Josh Taylor. It started as a competitive fight. And then Teofimo starts having fun in there and joking around and dancing around. And while the fight is going on, and when he's relaxed, he is the most dangerous. He starts having fun, which he didn't against Cambosos. It was a big mental warfare that was going on in there. There was a lot of hatred, a lot of bad feelings. The buildup was nasty. And Teofimo was so emotional that he checked out. And he ended up going in catch-up mode. He started fighting reactive instead of proactive. His dad didn't know what to tell him in the corner. It was a mess all around. And even then, he still made somewhat of a fight, a really good fight, in which I felt that the title shouldn't have transitioned at that point, but the judges saw it otherwise and gave Cambosos the nod. The other fight that we saw Teofimo struggle against was Sandor Martin. The Spaniard fighter, Sandor Martin, who is a tough fight for everybody. Sandor Martin, who defeated Mikey Garcia, he's given tough fights to anybody and everybody that he steps into the ring with. He's that type of fighter that will make everybody look bad against. He disrupts your style, disrupts your game plan, makes it a rough, ugly fight, awkward fight, gets everybody off the rocker mentally, and it becomes a knockout dragout. In the lead up to this fight, Teofimo said that he walked into that fight with an injured right hand, or an injured hand at least. It pops in my head that it was a right hand, but I recall him saying that it was an injured hand. Maybe it was a left and I'm getting it wrong. But I recall him stating just a few days back that he walked into that fight with an injured hand. For some reason, I'm getting the inkling that it was a right side. And whether it's an excuse or not, it's a reason that Teofimo's giving of why he had such a bad performance. If you remember after that fight, as he's sitting on the corners waiting for the decision to be announced, the mics pick up Teofimo Lopez saying to one of his team members, "Do I still have it? I don't know if I still have it." Questioning himself, doubting himself. He's been through a lot personally. He's been through a lot outside of the ring, and it's transitioned into the ring and affected him in the ring. He still got the decision win. He got the split decision win against Sandor Martin. And after that fight, moved on to fight Josh Taylor. That was his second fight at 140 pounds. His first one was against Pedro Campa, which was a tough fight for him in the initial rounds, but he ended up putting a stop to that fight and stopped Campa in the seventh round. But with Sandor Martin, it was a different story, and that's when he was going through all these issues away from the ring, outside of the ring, in his personal life. And it transitioned into the ring. Between that fight in 22, December of 22, and the 6 months subsequent to that, where he ended up fighting Josh Taylor, a lot of it ended up clearing up for him. He ended up lining up his ducks, getting his ducks in a row, and being in top-notch condition, mentally and physically, and performed like we've never seen him before against Josh Taylor. When he needed to perform, he did it. And that's where you got to give him the nod, because he is the man. He's done it in two different divisions. And you got to give him the acknowledgement and the respect and give him the nod that he's going to have a leg up against Jermaine Ortiz in this fight this coming Thursday night. Because of the experience, because of the adversity that he's overcome in front of all of our eyes, he's able to overcome obstacles. He's able to overcome adversity. He's able to face it. He's been dropped. He's been hurt. He's been cut. And he continues to answer the call and shine. You got to give him the nod. But Jermaine Ortiz is not going to be an easy challenge. There's going to be knockdowns. There's going to be blood. There's going to be cuts. And it's going to get dirty. That much I know. There's no way that it won't play out to be a rough and tumble, knockout, dragout type fight. I don't see speed being the difference maker here, because they both possess it. I really feel that Teofimo's creativity is going to be the difference maker here. He's either going to succumb to the succession and the combinations of Jermaine Ortiz, and he delivers in fast style, in fast manner, or he's going to become evasive, stay composed, stay mentally on top of his game, and start getting creative like he did with Josh Taylor. And if he starts pot-shotting and landing from awkward angles, sneaking an uppercut, disrupting the flow, interrupting the combinations, if he just stays loose, he's gonna beat Jermaine Ortiz. And he might even do it handily. But if he doesn't, and he steps into this with animosity, with vitriol, with anger, if he starts maybe even too relaxed, where Jermaine Ortiz will capitalize early, that's going to get into Teofimo's head, and it'll get him off his game plan, and then he's going to want to go out for revenge, and he'll be completely thrown off. He's got to stay calm, cool, and collected. Loose. Dancing, joking, being himself. And he'll be able to perform. And he'll be able to overcome the tough task that is Jermaine Ortiz. If he doesn't, and this becomes a grind out type of fight, Jermaine Ortiz may very well get his hand raised tomorrow, and we may have a new champ at 140 pounds. All signs are pointing that Teofimo's at his all-time best right now. Interviews, camps, how open he's been with the media, with the public, how accessible, how vocal. He seems to be in a good spot mentally, emotionally, and incredibly, in an incredible spot physically. Doesn't look drained, doesn't look like he's struggling. the first battle is behind them, and that was the wait. Now comes the fight, the war. And I'm interested to hear how you guys have that fight, because it's going to be really, really, really interesting, at least in the first four rounds of the fight. I believe that it's going to be, those are going to be the most telling rounds. And I think one's going to take the lead from there over the other. Maybe even the first two rounds. The first round's always a feel-out round, but we know Teofimo doesn't like to feel out. He likes to get right in, and he starts throwing. He goes right across the ring and starts throwing. He likes to mix it up immediately and get that rust out of the way, get the nerves out of the way, and just start engaging. Jermaine Ortiz will start inching forward, trying to generate his game plan and trying to get his rhythm going, whereas Teo doesn't. Teo likes to get in there and start mixing up, and he starts throwing. So it may very well be by the second round that we have this fight starting to guide one way or the other. Jermaine Ortiz gave Lomachenko, who in my opinion has been the toughest task for him, and obviously the lone defeat in his record, he gave him a solid eight rounds before he started deteriorating in the fight and getting outpointed by Loma. That's what Teofimo has to overcome. A solid eight rounds. And it's going to start really tough. And it's going to go from tough to hard to pace. And who's going to maintain the pace and who's going to impose their will on the other in the latter part of the fight? I don't know if this is going to be a stoppage win for either. I think this goes all the way. But I really feel that there's going to be knockdowns from each of them. At least one each. There's going to be blood. There's going to be cuts. We know Teofimo's going to bleed because he tends to bleed from the nose and he tends to bleed from the right eyebrow. Jermaine Ortiz tends to swell. His nose, his bridge tends to swell. Teofimo likes to put that glove in the mouth and pop you in the mouth over and over and over. So most of the fighters that face him are usually bleeding from the mouth. It's going to be very interesting and very telling as to who imposes and how fast either is going to move to gain control. Very, very telling fight, and what a way to kick off the Super Bowl weekend. For those of you that are into American football, into the NFL, listen, this is as big of a game as it gets. It's the biggest party of the year for football fans, for reals. There's no other way to put it. It's become a tradition. It is a big party. It is a big show. It is a big weekend. It's become a week-long festivity for going on 20 years now. Mid-90s, I believe, is when they started really capitalizing on the marketability of this weekend. And it's just one of those, it's almost like a big holiday. So what an honor for this fight to be the one kicking off the festivities. And for Bob Arum to be on a second launching of a big event. A few months back, the Grand Prix with Shakur and De Los Santos. Regardless of how the fight played out, they're the ones that kicked off the weekend. The ones that stole the show was a co-main event that night, which was Navarrete and Robson Contienzao. They stole the show and they ended up in a draw, which was a bloody fest, a blood fest of a matchup. And I mentioned that so we could segue into the co-main event of this fight, because that's not a sleeper either. Jose Pedraza against Keyshawn Davis is going to be as telling of a fight as you could ever ask for. Because Jose Pedraza has 20 wins, 20 victories more than what Keyshawn Davis has fought professionally. Jose Pedraza stepping into this with a 29 record, 29 wins, 5 losses, 1 draw. 14 of those 29 victories have come by way of knockout. His 5 losses come against, in his very last matchup, Arnold Barbosa, who is a Golden Boy fighter at 140 now. He lost to Arnold Barbosa February of last year. Prior to that, he got the first draw of his record. That was against Richard Comey. If you remember who Richard Comey was, that's the man that faced off Teofimo Lopez at 135 and the first title that Teofimo managed to garner around his waist when he dropped and stopped Richard Comey in their December matchup several years back. Before that draw and fight with Richard Comey, he fought none other than Jose Ramirez, who is the unified champ at 140 and got into that big fight, the undisputed fight against Josh Taylor, and was stopped. Jose Pedraza lost to Jose Ramirez in a 12-round unanimous decision. He has a loss to Jose Cepeda. He has a loss to Vasily Lomachenko back in 2018. And the first defeat of his record came at the hands of Gervonta Davis. Just think about that. Losses to Gervonta Davis, Vasily Lomachenko, Jose Cepeda, which is Chon Cepeda, Jose Ramirez, Arnold Barbosa Jr., and a draw with Richard Comey. Just look at those names. Test after test after test after test. Solid opposition every single time he steps into the ring. Who has he beat? He's a 2-time champion. He's got victories over Tevin Farmer. Victories over Juan Carlos Martinez, Michael Farenas, Andre Klimov, Edner Cherry, Jose Luis Rodriguez. That was following the Tank Davis fight. Antonio Moran, who was the last opponent of Jermaine Ortiz. Ray Beltran. Antonio Lozada. I mean, solid opposition, a solid resume. 29-5-1 with 14 knockouts to his favor. The resume and the experience lies with Jose Pedraza on this. Keyshawn Davis, who is an amateur standout, an Olympic great, who fell short in the gold medal matchup against Andy Cruz and walked away with the silver medal, turned pro, and is 9-0, but has a vast array of experience himself from the amateur and Olympic days. How will that translate when he faces off against Jose Pedraza, who had a decent amateur background but has formulated the majority of his experience in the pro ranks? Keyshawn Davis sits with a 9-0 record, 6 knockouts. He's got pop, he's got speed, he's got experience himself, he's creative. He's been moving up. They've been matching him very well, and he's been moving up and stepping up in opposition each and every time that he steps into the ring since he turned pro. After his last fight against Nair Albright, he asked for Jose Pedraza. Prior to Albright, he fought Francisco Patera. He fought Anthony Yidget, who used to be a prospect. Juan Carlos Burgos. I mean, he's fought some decent opposition himself. Fighters that have been around the block in the pro ranks. And he's been successful. He's found success against him. He asked for Jose Pedraza. And this is going to be a very telling fight. It could be a negative. But it should be all positive, all across the board. Eliminate the negativity. If Keyshawn Davis is successful against Jose Pedraza, however it is that he gets it, whether he stops him or he decisions, Keyshawn Davis will be 10-0 and on the fast track towards title contention. He'll prove that someone who shared a ring with Tank and Loma and Ramirez and Barboza and Cepeda, even though he came up short on those fights. Just look at the experience that Jose Pedraza has. A former champion himself. Two-time champion. Keyshawn Davis stopping or getting the nod over a Jose Pedraza will be a fast track for him. A fast track pass towards title contention within the next two fights or so. Both fighters made weight. Both fighters look good. And they're ready. Keyshawn Davis losing to Jose Pedraza is not a huge negative. And that's why I'm saying it's positive all across the board. Keyshawn Davis, if he gets stopped against Jose Pedraza, maybe that'll be the sole negative. Because the critique will come that they threw him into the lion's den too soon. But if he loses by decision and it is a tight competitive fight, which you should not expect anything less from Keyshawn Davis, because he's super competitive, he's in your face, and he takes the fight to you. But if he doesn't get the nod and he loses to Jose Pedraza by decision, it will be a positive still, because it will be very telling as to where Keyshawn Davis is in his career. Address the flaws, get back to the drawing board, and continue building up again. One loss is not an end-all. Especially a loss to a veteran like Jose Pedraza and a former champ. It will be very telling and a very necessary, a very needed lesson for Keyshawn, should he not be successful this Thursday night, because he'll be able to figure out where he's at in his career, fix those issues, and continue his ascension towards title contention. But if he's successful and he's the favorite to win this fight, sky's the limit for this kid. And it's hard to expect any less. Everybody's expecting a Keyshawn Davis win, but no one really knows how he's going to do it. But everybody has that inkling that he's going to do it, that he's going to pull it off. If the main event is a tough matchup, based on their resumes, on their styles, on paper, all around, it's a tough matchup between Teo and Jermain. This co-main event could very well steal the show, similar to what Navarrete and Consensal did as the co-main of Shakur and De Los Santos a few months back. It's that type of fight and that type of matchup. A decorated amateur and a professional boxer on the fast track to title contention versus an experienced veteran and former champion in the professional ranks. That's what we got in this co-main event. Very interesting fight, very interesting card. Congratulations to Top Rank, and I can't wait for this fight in this fight night to come. It's not a Saturday night. It's on a Thursday night. And something else that's happening on that Thursday night, being that it's February 8th of 2024, 2-8-24, for those of you that were fans of the late, great Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant, the two, which represents his daughter's Gigi, his daughter's jersey number, and the 8 and the 24, which represent each of Kobe's professional numbers as a Laker, pre-Black Mamba and post, when he was Kobe Bryant, and 24 when he became the Black Mamba. 2-8-24, there will be an unveiling of his statue outside of the Staples Center, and that's going to be a big ceremony taking place as well. Not in Las Vegas, but rather in LA. So it's a big day, sports-wise. So RIP to the late greats, and salute to the boxing crowd, salute to the boxing fans, and to all of you who continue to tune in to this show. I wish you guys a great fight night, and we don't have to wait till Saturday night. It's coming Thursday night, and it's a big kickoff to the Super Bowl weekend festivities. I'll see you all on the next episode. We'll catch you on the recap episode. I can't wait for this fight to happen. Thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for the love. I'll send that love right back to you. Heck, Cali, out.